I'll be too nervous to. I'll probably lost for words.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Lost for Words DraftKings podcast. I'm joined, as ever, by Matt Vincenzi. Matt, hello.
Tom, we are back for another week. Even though last week didn't go so well, that's the best thing about golf, because now we get another chance this week. I think it might have been better for you than me.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those ones where, like, the guys I had looked okay, and then they just did nothing. Like, Keith Mitchell was there. Mackenzie Hughes had two really good rounds, but just ruined his chances on day one. Skins was there, and then just didn't do anything. Like, had probably, like, we did better off, I think, actually picking out the guys at the bottom of the board than we did. Well,
that, and I was on Benny, who finished third, or T4, whatever he finished. So that was a good, and he was my favorite play in the high eight, which I think worked out well. But end of the day, I really wanted the winner and didn't get it. So it is what it is.
It's one of those things, though, like, when you think about it, like, we talked about Kevin Sway, we talked about Kelly Kraft, they're both 9th, 13th, respectively. Like, I feel like, you know, Jaeger, we gave a decent push. Like, I feel like we've got those kind of sort of things right, but just not the, you know, the main bulk of things. So can't deem it a success, but at least we kind of knew what we were talking about, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything to take away particularly from last week, apart from the fact that Taylor Pendrith managed to, we don't know, we can't call it a backdoor because he was there. Is it like a, was it just a trap? I don't know. I mean, Ben Coles looked like he was going to win it. It was just like a, I mean, he made back-to-back birdies in crunch time, and everyone was calling for him to be on the Ryder Cup, and then he bogeys the last hole.
Yeah. I mean, part of me is thinking we should have maybe, I should have noticed Pendrith, because just the course fit-wise seemed really good. Coles obviously blew it, but Pendrith was leading for most of the round. He did play pretty well. He didn't make too many mistakes, so I wouldn't say that he backdoored it, but Coles obviously made a huge, I mean, everyone wants to talk about the bogey he made in 18, which was horrible, but he did make some pretty clutch birdies in the previous two holes to be in that position. So I do think Pendrith kind of deserved and earned the win. And yeah, I mean, tough times for the PGA Tour here, where you have guys like Cole who were showing no form whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean,
even Pendrith, right? Like, he was 11th for the Corrales, but that was his sort of first decent effort since the Farmers. Like, it's not like he's been a guy. He missed like 4 cuts out of 5 going into that week at the Corrales.
Yeah.
5 or 6 cuts. Like, he'd been terrible on approach. I guess, like, when he's been 11th at the Corrales and the course fits, you could make an argument for him and in like a slightly weaker field. But like, he's not been good. The trouble is, you're looking at the major next week, Matt, and like, it's so hard to look at someone and go, do you know what? They're right there in form. They're ready for for the PGA Championship. Like, it's just no one seems to really be stepping up other than the guy that's just pulled out, or the two guys that have pulled out, I guess, this week.
Yeah, and we waited almost for the right time, because he was a guy on, not that I was going to bet, but that I thought towards the top was a pretty good play this week, and Ludvig Åberg just went through, so.
Yeah, like, my lineup that I sort of predetermined before coming and having this conversation started with Åberg. Like it was the perfect lineup, I felt like, and he's gone now. The jokes are going to be there that, you know, Scotty Scheffler's out, so we can all get a winner now. But it does feel a little bit like that, you know, with those two guys gone now, it does feel like it's someone else's chance to step up. So, Matt, I guess the real conversation is now, is it all on Rory McIlroy to get a win before the PGA Championship?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely seems like he's by far the best option to win, especially with no Scotty, no Åberg. I mean, you couldn't really script any better for him. Do I think he's necessarily going to win? Not really. I do think he'll be there. His course history is really, really good. He's just moved to 650, plus 650 on the odds board after the Åberg withdrawal. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be there. I think he's probably the best player at the top. Do I think he's necessarily going to win? Not really.
So I don't think Xander's going to win. I don't think you get enough of a discount on Xander to go with him instead of Rory. So then the conversation moves to Wyndham Clark of, like, I know you're not a Wyndham Clark guy, Matt, but, like, it's been extended. I mean, he's got, what, 3 top 3 finishes in his last 5 starts now. Like, it's...
Yeah, you can't deny what he's doing. You can't, and especially in the elevated event, right? He was one pebble, was Second at Players, was second at Heritage or third at Heritage, and then
won this last year.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, this is tough to ignore. But for me, there has never been a back-to-back winner at this event.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's the course, right? Like it's what the course demands. Like you have to be so on it. Like it's not like a course where you can go back and get familiar with it and just like the Amex, where you can go, right, okay, well, if I can get hot, you know, a couple of days, I can just, you know, get used to what I'm doing, right? This is one where even if you love the golf course, if you're slightly off, you're gone. So by the looks of it, man, it's got harder again this year. Like they've limped it a little bit again. They've changed the greens slightly, but still Bermuda, but they've redone them. Don't know how much effect that's going to have, but it's all about driving this week, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm looking forward to it because last week was such an event where you feel like you couldn't separate the great players from the mediocre players because it just doesn't ask that of you. And this is a golf course where it does ask you to be excellent tee to green and good off the tee. And I'm targeting players who I think will do that. So yeah, a little tough, maybe 14, 15 under. I think it's perfect.
Who now then that's remaining in your field is your, I can't say no to them sort of thing. Who's the guy you think must be in your lineups?
It's tough, man. Cause I bet four guys this week and all four of them have a serious problem with winning. You know, but if there's any place you want to do that, it is Quail Hollow. You've had a bunch of first time winners here. Rookie got his first win here. Rickie Fowler, Rory got his first win here. Max Homa got his first win here. Wyndham Clark got his first win here. Anthony Kim got his first win here. To me, I'm not worried so much about that. I think the way to do it this week, is probably to skip the 10K and above, because I think Rory, especially with Ludwig withdrawing and no Scotty, Rory's going to get a ridiculous amount of ownership, maybe 30%+, maybe 40%. So Xander will get a little bit of the residuals. You always have the people who love Xander's, although he is incredibly highly priced. Ludwig would have been incredibly popular at 10-3 after all those Australian guys. So I think you just skip the range entirely. That's probably what I'll do, because I think Rory build is just going to be too popular, because if you play Rory, you have to jump down and everyone's going to be in that same range. So I think skip there, head right down to the 9Ks and figure out who you like from there.
So I feel like we talked about this potentially last week, maybe, unless I'm getting my wires crossed before I talked about it. But we talked about Justin Thomas maybe coming back into form and this being a good golf course for him, PGA being a good major for him. He's the one. So I, at the moment, I've only done my kind of sleepers article where his 40s went bigger. So he's not obviously in that. But he's the one that first came to my mind this week of people I think.
Yeah, I mean, I bet Justin Thomas at 30-1. And I think, I mean, a lot of, again, is he playing his best? No. Do I have concerns? Yes. But if he was in great form at this golf course where he's won a major, where he's great course history, he'd be 16-18-1 in this field. But he's 30-1 because he isn't playing great, and I'm willing to take that risk. And he's showing signs of coming back. The Masters, he was horrible, but he was stuck in that really tough wave, and a lot of people played bad that week. And then the next week at Heritage, he played pretty well. And he, you know, backdoors a top five finish, but maybe he found something. He gained strokes in the green. He still gained strokes in approach in five of his last six starts. I just think it's not as bad as it seems.
I think the most alarming results so far, Matt, have been the miscut of Riviera and the Valspar, where he played okay for a couple of rounds and then shot the third round 79, right? Like he was kind of there or thereabouts. The Players cut, I don't mind. Like that happens all the time. He was 12th at Bay Hill, was solid. The Masters is what it is. Like, as you said, bad way, but also anyone can kind of miss a cut there. It's a tough test at the best of times, right? But the fact that he comes straight back and put fifth place finish at the Heritage straight after the Masters says everything you need to know about Justin Thomas. So as much as I've sort of given him a hard time in the past, he is a guy that I think when the chips are down and the occasion suits and you know, we lose a couple of the top players, I think he really comes to the fore. So that's where, you know, obviously there's a couple of players I think we should talk about before sort of starting with Justin Thomas, but I feel like he's a guy that we should all kind of be looking at 8,500, and people will look at, I guess, with the price.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, it's like I've said this before, and I don't want to say it, you know, every 6 weeks for 3 years now, but like he has won 15 times on the PGA Tour. It's not like this guy can't win. Like he can and he will at some point. He's not going to be Ricky Fowler. Like he's going to figure it out. His high end talent is still there. And guess what? The fields aren't that good. Like the field he has to beat this week without Ludwig and Scottie Scheffler isn't really. He can go in there with his B minus game and scrape out a victory at a course that he loves. Like he doesn't have to, you know, be the best peak Justin Thomas.
Yeah. That's the problem I think the PGA Tour's got at the moment. Is you take away these depth pieces, then you lose a couple. Like Scottie Scheffler's done a lot of heavy lifting for the past few weeks, and good on him for doing that. Good on him for stepping up. And Hubert has come at the right time and things like that. But you lose a couple of them, and Rory's not in his absolute peak form, and things kind of get you know, a little bit messy. So yeah, I think they needed Justin Thomas to step up, and it's a good week for him. You went with Fleetwood as well on your betting card, I think.
Yeah.
Good course history.
Yeah, great course history. He was first round leader here last year. I actually hit that at 60-1. And it just feels like every time he's had a bad start, he's bounced back with a good start and vice versa. So I just think this is the bad week to hop off. He was horrible at Heritage. I get that. But in retrospect, I mean, he's a long and classical tough course guy. Like if I think asking him to get to 21 under or whatever he had to get to win would be tough. And I think this week, if the winner is 13 or 14 under, he just did finish third at the Masters. I know it was a backdoor, but I don't know. I think there's a place where people break through and get their maiden victories. And I'm going to go down swinging with Tommy.
Yeah. And I think, look, apart from the 49 for the Heritage, when I felt like it was a good time to be on him and the way he's been playing, like, he's been great. It's just that doesn't feel like, you say, the type of course that you should be betting him at, really. I mean, he has played well there, and that's kind of when we went down that route, but the scoring does suit him all this time around. So we shall see. We'll see what happens with Fleetwood this week.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he gets in the mix. I'm not giving up on him. I do have a little concern about my card being all guys who haven't shown they're able to win, but this is a place where, you know, losers go to win, right?
Look, Cameron Young's is the one, right? Like Cameron Young is the one where, look, we know what Tommy Fleetwood is. He's won all the biggest tournaments, really, that you can win on the DP World Tour. He's played well in majors. Like, we actually know what Tommy Fleetwood is and what he isn't. And I think the PGA Tour is just by, you know, label more than anything. It doesn't necessarily mean anything he hasn't won on the PGA Tour, right? So that's just a case of monkey off his back type thing. I think with Cameron Young, like, he just has to prove he can win. Like, it's as simple as that. I genuinely think he can win the PGA Championship next week. Like, I believe that. I believed it at the Masters. I have no problem seeing him win it. I think, you know, potentially it's you know, where he puts himself in the most chance all of a sudden. Like, it's probably more likely he wins a major just because of the way you have to do it. But, like, yeah, I think this is a great golf course for him. The driving suits him. It's just going to come down to the chips falling down, like almost what happened to Taylor Pendrick yesterday. Like, play well for most of the day and someone cocks up right at the end. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think people are lumping him into this category of players who can't win and forget that he's 26 years old. I mean, how old is Wyndham Clark when he won for
the
first time?
It's because he looks 46. That's
yeah. Like, I love Cam. He was the first guy when I opened the odds board because I was very disappointed with the odds that I saw. Yeah. I had to bet Tommy at 25, but I really thought it should have been 35. But opening the odds board, the first fair number I saw, I thought was Cam Young at 35-1. I thought that was really fair and the one that one guy priced really where I thought he should be. I guess the Scotty no-show affected the odds more than I anticipated. But yeah, love Cam. Perfect golf course for him. Can use the driver, long, straight. I think he has a really good chance this week.
Look, at I've mentioned this before, and it's a little bit like your Justin Thomas comment. You want to keep going over old ground just to make your point. But, like, Cam Young still never had a 54-hole lead in the PGA Tour. So this is not a guy that's thrown away one that he should definitely have won. I get he's been in positions he probably should have won the Valspar. I get that, you know, there's been other opportunities for him to win, right? And he's not looked great. But apart from on the DP World Tour earlier this year, where he had a two-shot lead going to the final round, and he did really melt down, like... And he'd led for three rounds, by the way. That's not easy to do. So you look at the two 54-hole leads that he had in the Korn Ferry Tour, they were wire-to-wire, both of them. Like, I get it's a different level, but it shows his quality. And look, I think it's just a matter of when, not if, with Cam Young. So when the course suits, when the field is slightly lacking with a couple of stars missing, like, it's probably the best time to play him.
Yeah, all these guys. I mean, it just feels like I almost get word of posting these cards with the backlash, people saying, oh, this guy's a loser, he can't win. Like, everyone's a loser till they're not. Everybody is. And you just bet the guys who you think fit the course best, and one of these days the variants will go their way and they're going to fall into one. That's just how it goes.
Wyndham Clark is not more talented than Cam Young. Like, he's just
no.
He's figured out the minutiae, I guess, of winning, which is
the mental side of the game, right?
Yeah, like, he's had a psychologist help him, and it really does look like it was as simple as that for him. Like, he's pieced it all together, and I would say Cam Young potentially more talented than Wyndham Clark, and that's not, any knock on Wyndham Clark. He's doing great things right now, but I would be very surprised if Cam Young can't replicate what Wyndham Clark's done over the next few years. Like it happened with Wyndham Clark. If he wins this, I could very easily see him go and win one of the next three majors.
Right, yeah, definitely.
So I like Cam Young. Definitely like Cam Young more than Fleetwood, I would say, just on price points. I'm absolutely fine with starting Cam Young and Justin Thomas. Like, I know they're going to be popular, but then you can do really what you want from there, I guess.
I think I would definitely start there. Now, you know what? I want to start Fleetwood, and not just because I think he can win all this other stuff. I just think he's overpriced compared to the guys in his range. I think a lot of people are going to skip him because of that price.
Well, especially because he's between Cantlay and Homer, right? Like, people like Cantlay in terms of DFS and the floor he kind of offers. And Max Homer's obviously won this twice, so he's going to get a look. People are going to see what Morikawa done at Masters and look at him. I guess the only people they're not going to really look towards is Hovland, who's struggling. But
right, and Cam Young is, and as for the reasons both of us mentioned, he's going to be really, really popular. So I do like maybe starting Fleetwood, JT, Cam. I don't know if that leaves us with enough or not, but
yeah, it leaves us with 7,700. I think, which as we go on with this conversation, is going to suit us perfectly. So, does Noren give you that kind of feeling that he's going to win soon, or is this just what he is, and he'll just keep grinding out good results?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one with him. Like, he did exactly what I expected him to do last week, and I thought he would play really well, but just maybe not win. It never really felt like he was going to win. It's different with him and these other guys. I mean, he's 10 years older than Tommy is.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think he's probably a good play considering the way he's playing. How's his course history?
I think he only played here once. No, he's played there a couple of times. He missed the last two cuts and finished 67th at the PGA Championship. So, but he was 21st going into the weekend. But, like, I wouldn't necessarily mind that. I think course history can be overcome here quite easily. I think it's one of those places, you said this a couple of times, Matt, like, course experience might mean more than course form, in the sense that you just need a couple of looks around here before you get used to it, right? But I just think with Noren, it just feels like his peak performance at the moment is the fourth. Or the fifth or the sixth. Like, I don't feel like he's just going to get there and win.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would be pretty shocked if he actually won this event. But in terms of DraftKings, you don't need him to. I do think he can play well. But for me, I'm probably going to be just a pass on him altogether.
And then the other thing, like, I really can't get my head around is why Russell Henley's not good at this golf course.
Yeah, maybe just too long.
Yeah, I guess. Like, he's played well at long golf courses before, right? Like, it's not like he's just struck. I guess that is a massive part of the game, but, like, yeah, I guess it must just be that. But, like, even on, like, this first start here, he was, like, inside the top 15 going into the weekend, top 20 going into the final round, just had a bad final round. Like, maybe because it was 2013, the distance didn't mean as much as it does now. Like, I don't know.
But yeah, I mean,
he plays so well. Like, I believe he's a pretty good long iron player. Like, maybe not this year, but, like, generally speaking. So I wouldn't. No, it's tough. It's a tough one. Like, I really think he should be good here.
Yeah, he should. I don't mind it as a little bit of a contrarian play. I did think about him before looking into him, that his course history really wasn't that good. I know, like you said, his hidden form a little bit, but just the results don't look great.
My favorite course form is that Wyndham Clark finished missed cut 43rd and then won. Benny Ann missed cut. No, not Benny Ann. We'll come on to that person next. Benny Ann first. So Benny Ann, 8,100, has got pretty disappointing course form. He's got three missed cuts. He was 28th here in the PGA Championship in 2017, where he was 10th going into the weekend. And I feel like that's probably the last time Benny Ann was this version of Benny Ann, potentially. So I don't mind bad course form. I think he actually plays into my hands perfectly. I've been waiting for a number for so long. He's been half his price. He's been double his price, but that's because he's not been playing well. Now I think he's just perfect. And I don't necessarily love proximity and approach yardage buckets, because I think you can get kind of two in the weeds. But this week, I think it's really important. So, and fifth on tour in driving distance, seventh in total driving, 11th in greens regulation, which means he's third in ball striking overall. He's seventh in 175 yards to 200. He's 18th in 225 yards and 29th in 150 to 175. So he's inside the top 30 for all the most popular ranges at this golf course in terms of irons. The one kind of correlating course, I think, is Riviera. I don't necessarily think he needs to look much beyond that. Like James Harden and Max Homer have both won here at 5 inch, one and one at Riviera. JB Holmes has won at both. Wyndham Clark's got a good record there and obviously won this. So I think Riviera's a one. And Benny finished 16th there earlier this season. I just think he saw what he needed to see last week in terms of, right, I've actually been paid off for the player I am right now. Got the fourth place finish. No, he didn't, you know, even really sniff a chance at a win, right? But it was nothing really that he did, like 67, 66, 67, 65, and didn't have a chance to win. That's the tournament as opposed to him.
Yeah, I woke up this morning 55-1, betted immediately. I'm absolutely thrilled about it. I was on him last week, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, I'm on Benny and he's playing well, and all these people who tail in the bets and, you know, talk about it. And it's like, we punish these guys for finishing fourth. Yeah. It's like he played absolutely amazing last week, and he missed some short putts. And guess what? That comes with the territory. And now we're going to an event where he can get away with missing a couple of short putts because he's so good off the tee. He's so good with his long irons, and he's going to have plenty of opportunities. If he hits it tee to green like that, then this is a course where his skill set can actually separate him from the players who aren't as good in those categories.
I think the only concern is, long term, Benny Han's been pretty good around the greens, and that's been a problem for him recently, right? Like, he's not been the best around the greens. So that would have been my only concern, is like, if he does miss those greens at any point, how he's going to get up and down. But generally speaking, like, this is the most confident felt about Benny Han. And I get that, you know, maybe it's because he's finished fourth last week, and maybe I'm just a bit too late to the party, but 16th for the Masters inside the top 10, 54 holes, like, inside the top 10 going into the weekend. The Heritage just had a really poor final round when he couldn't really win. Like, it feels like he's now definitely come to the point where this is what he is. He's back to what he was doing. This is the player that won at Wentworth on the DP World Tour. This is the player that can compete in majors. Like, he's one of the biggest drivers on tour, and that doesn't really get spoken about enough. Like,
so good.
Like,
his talent, I'm just absolutely, like, drooling over what I saw from him in a bunch of different ways, and I don't want to get too crazy because, yeah, he could flame out this week, obviously. He's still been on, but, like, talent wise it just feels like he's getting more and more confident, and he's realizing how good he is. And it takes some guy, he's only 32, it takes some guys a little bit of time. He lost his card 3 or 4 years ago. If you're looking at course history, I mean, the guy was playing horrific from 2019 to 2022, and now he's playing well again. I don't know if you watched on Sunday, but that shot he made on 15, 223 yard par 3, almost kisses the hole as it goes by, makes birdie, only the fourth player to make birdie the entire round. Like, he has that high level upside talent, and the things that you can't teach, the things that are the toughest to do, he can do. So I'm always going to be there for the talent, and I think course fit over course history here.
Yeah, I think that's exactly my thoughts. Like, he's definitely my favorite player this week in terms of betting. I think for me, like, he is 32. He's only won once on a DP World Tour. He's only won once on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's only won once on the Challenge Tour, right? But, like, he won the Challenge Tour in 2014, went straight to the Korean Tour and straight to the DP World Tour and won there, then won again on the Korean Tour. Like, he did everything he should have done at the period of his, like, career. And then he went to the PGA Tour 2016, lost in the playoff at the Jura Classic. Like, yeah. If he wins that, straight away his progression was Challenge Tour win, DP World Tour win, PGA Tour win. And we're not even having a discussion about whether this guy can win, right? He then has another chance at the 2018 Memorial, loses to Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, that's not, you know, that's just tough luck, right? Then you go to, you know, fast forward to this year, and he loses again in the playoff. Okay, this time it's to Grayson Murray, and not a better player like DeChambeau, but it happens, right?
And he made a 45-footer.
Yeah. Like, I just think this this. I mean, we just saw it. Just Pendrith is this guy that can't win, right? Like he's the guy that doesn't win. He gets himself a position and he's not good enough to win, and then he wins. And then, as you said earlier, like people are just not. They're all not good enough to win until they do it. And there's a guy like directly below him, Tony Finau, who was, you know, master of it for years, you know, but he couldn't win. He goes and wins, what, 3 in 7 events, whatever it was that he did. Benny Ann has been top 25 in every major already in his career. He's got a couple of top 16 finishes, US Open, the Masters. Like, he can hang around, absolutely. So I think this is probably one of the best course fits on tour. And it just so happens that his course form doesn't represent that because he's been, you know, in the bad period of his career.
Yeah, completely agree.
And he's had the Sungjae conversation, because I don't think you like him, like, in general. But, no, like, I just think if you're going to... This is more of a bet. Like, I don't think I would do this on DraftKings, but I've bet him this week, because I just think he's 50-1, 55-1, I think, at one point. He's not going to be that kind of number if this form that he's shown in this two-event window is anything to go by. Like, if it means anything and he goes back to the player that Sungjae was, he's going to start coming in at 28-1, 30-1, like, very regularly and quite quickly. He finished 12th at the Heritage, and then he won in Korea. And it could be all smokes and mirrors, right? It could just be he's not very good. But I'm looking at the fact that he was 8th here last year. You know, he was inside the top 5 for a couple of rounds last year as well. Type of player that you're going to look at the stats right now, and he absolutely sucks. Like, long iron, terrible. Approach play in general, terrible. But I think he's just purely on a numbers play worth looking at in terms of a bet. I don't know. I think DraftKings may be too risky with the options you've got around here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you gave two scenarios. One, he's back. One is smoke mirrors. I think there could be an in-between. Maybe he is playing well again. But in that case, I don't know still if this is the right spot for him to challenge for a win, considering I know in his at his best, he's a good long iron player, but he is short. He's short off the tee.
Yeah.
And at, like, the President's Cup, he kind of sucked ass here, too.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, and then he finishes 8th here last year.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and Brendan Todd's got a couple of good finishes here. Like,
how many strokes gained putting did he have last year? I would ask.
This is probably where you're going to spoil the party, and he's getting like 10 strokes putting or whatever.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's have a look. But, like, I just think it could just the number purely. Let's have a look. It was generally short game.
Yeah.
He gained in all four categories, but he gained like 6 strokes putting. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I think he would have to do that again, rather than, you know, rely on the long game, but we shall see. I think definitely a bet more than he is a DraftKings play, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, man, I would almost go the other way. Like, I think a winning is a big ask, but could he finish 15th and no one else is playing him, you know, or 11th or 8th or 7th? The field's not that good. So, yeah, I think...
Maybe you're right. That's, yeah. See, that's the difference. I don't think like that. Like, I think, like, I think it's low risk, so I'm going to bet him, and if I lose... $10 to lose $10 because it was a good play, but, like, actually it might make more sense for him to just finish 12th, 13th and do a favor in drafting. So definitely, yeah, so there's a good conversation on that. I referenced the miscut 43rd course form for Wyndham Clark because of Akshay Bhatia, Matt. Yeah. Miscut 43rd here in his two starts. I feel like Akshay's a shorter version of Benny Am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's in his last 24 rounds, he's number one in approach. I mean, he's playing better than almost anybody. And I like him. I like him. And I've been on both his two wins so far, and I feel like I have a really good feel for him. I think this is a good golf course.
That's what worries me, is that you're not on him.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I want him to
take... He's a Carolina guy as well, right?
He is. Yeah, yeah, he is. But for me, I want him to feel and taste contention in a big event with big name players. Like, he beat Patrick Rogers and he beat Danny McCarthy, and he did show a lot of intestinal fortitude to do those things because it was a tough situation. But 45-1 in a signature event where he just turned 22 years old, it just feels like a lot. It feels like a lot. Yeah. And as a play, I really like it. I think he's going to play really well. I think he is elevating his game to that next tier. But for me, it's 40, 45, whatever it is now, just didn't feel enticing enough for me to pull the trigger.
But it just depends whether you think he's at that Ricky Fowler point of his career where he's going to break through and have one of these big wins. I know Ricky did this as his first win, and it was head-to-head, I think, with Rory, right? But, like...
Anthony Kim, too. same age, similar age.
Like, I think he's that type of player, and I think that people aren't going to believe he can win a major until he wins something like this. That's your point, like going ahead in this kind of field and doing it. Despite him not being that long off the tee, 34th in strokes gained off the tee, 13th tee screen, 19th in total driving. And then you look at those iron ranges again, 12th in 150 to 175, 19th in 175 to 200. So he kind of makes up for that lack of distance off the tee by hitting his long iron so well. And it's what impressed me is just how good he's been since that win, or either side of that win, right? Like 17th, 11th, 35th, and 18th. And I was impressed actually with how well he did. You know, in the Masters, coming off of a win, right, and he finishes 35th, and none of them were great rounds. I don't think he even broke par. I think he shot level par on day one. That was it. But like, just being there and hanging around, then not going straight off again, finishes 18th in the Heritage. Heritage probably not the best, you know, event for him either. Like, I just want to see what he's like in this kind of field, and I think that how he's in his long iron suggests that he's a decent player.
Yeah, he definitely is. He definitely is. I'm getting a little bit concerned because a lot of people have been bringing him up to me, and I pride myself on knowing when he's going to play well, and I do think he is. And yeah, I think he's priced that way for a reason, because, and I do agree with you, your general point that that is the type of player he is. I do believe that he is. My question is he going to, you know, finish fifth in an Elevate event before he wins a major or just, you know, I don't know if he's done enough in these big events. So I like him a lot. I think he's going to play well. I think DraftKings play is great.
I think the thing is, Matt, like, you were probably impressed with him more than I was last year after he'd won, what did he win, like, Puerto Rico or whatever it was that he won the first time, right? Like, and then everyone's sort of saying, well, let's wait until he does it. And he does it in the Valero, and it'll always be the next thing, right? Like, what if, you know, let's wait until he does it. And I'm not saying this is you, but like, in general, like, that's always going to be people's attitude toward it, right? Like, let's say it's Barracuda, wasn't it, that he won? So he won the Barracuda, wins the Valero. Like, everyone's going to go, okay, well, let's see what he does in a signature event. Let's see what he does in the Players. Then let's see what he does in the, you know, in the Masters or whatever, or majors in general. Like, it'll always be the next thing until it isn't. But yeah, I mean, this guy, 22 years of age, hasn't had the college education like everybody else, and you know, he turned pro 5 years ago, and he just backed himself, won on events really quickly in terms of the Corn Ferry, then over here. He's actually won twice on this tour after only winning once on the Corn Ferry, so he's kind of, you know, already at that next level. I'm just so impressed with him. I just think it's so impressive to kind of back yourself that well and follow through with it. Very easily for him to just to have disappeared. So maybe it's one of those, like, I'm picking you based on how impressed I am with you overall, but also willing to take that chance.
Yeah.
If we put Benny in that same lineup with Fleetwood, JT, Cam Young, it gets us over 7.5 for the last two players. So we can basically do what we want from here.
Pretty good.
Is there anyone that is Zalatoris? We're just a bit dubious about the back.
Yeah, I'm concerned about it. Do I think it's possible he played a bunch of events in a row and wanted to take the week off, didn't want the pressure to play in his hometown event? Yes, I do think it's a possibility. But he did like release a statement, and it's a little too iffy for me to touch. But would it shock me if he played well? Not really.
I think it's just purely health dependent. Like, if he wakes up on Thursday and his back doesn't hurt and he gets through a couple of rounds and he stays fit, I think he can win. Like, it's as simple as that. He just scares the life out of me at the moment about whether he can do that. And, you know, it's maybe too volatile for me. What about Connors? Like, he's not doing what we think about Connors, where he's going kind of like 8th, 11th, 15th, 17th, whatever. It's kind of 25th, 38th, 44th, and nothing really that special. Didn't have a big event at the Masters like he normally does. I kind of like that. I kind of feel like that's putting people off a bit.
Yeah, I haven't thought about him much, but I think he makes some sense. Course fit wise, he's really good. And people are kind of getting all over him a little bit. Now that the steam has kind of died down, I think it would be probably a pretty good time to get back on him.
Yeah, like a third round 66 at the Heritage, opening 69 at the Masters, pretty typical of him. Like 25th at the Texas Open. Yeah, you want to see him doing better than that. Like, I definitely don't think he can win based on his current form, but like, I think he can hang around and do something useful here. What about kind of like Day, Scott, Burns, Lowry, Bezadenhout, that little group there? Any interest in those guys?
Yeah, I like Scott. I mean, not enough to think he's going to win or anything, and I always like him. But at that price, I do think it's pretty good. Out on Day, Scott, look at his results. He's playing pretty well. I think you know, he's last three, 14th, 22nd, 30th. He's shooting four rounds in the 60s last week. The game, I think, is there. I think classical long golf course is good for him. And you talked about the RIV comparison. So I think, I don't think he can win, no, but I think he can finish top 15.
I think it's just, you don't really know when the scoring gets away from him so much as it has done last week. You don't really know where he is, right? Like, he scored over 100 DraftKings points last week,
despite him
30. So, like, probably a good person to have in at the moment. Just this course suits him better. Like, he's obviously still scoring, even if he's not finishing exactly where you want him to. So, I think he's worthwhile. Another long iron player that I didn't necessarily think about in this respect, but Bazadenhout is 16th in 175 to 200 and 8th in 200 to 225. 30th and 225 to 250. Like, that's pretty solid. I mean, obviously you're backing him more with a wedge in his hand, 100 to 125, 50 to 125, whatever, he's second in both of those. But I was quite impressed with how good he is from the longer. It's just the 150 to 175 where it may come into play a bit more. He's kind of a little bit disappointing, but he's playing so well at the moment, Matt. Like, I would almost back him anywhere.
Did he withdraw last week?
I don't remember. I don't even remember if he just didn't commit. He played in Japan the week before.
I want to say he withdrew recently, and at the end of the, I don't know which event it was, maybe the Heritage, I think maybe it was the week before, and again, this is not a concern because he played well after that, but I was watching him on the featured groups in the morning, I think it was Heritage, and he like seemed like he pulled a muscle in his rib or something, so I didn't know if that had something to do with
that would make sense. Like, the final round 65 of the Heritage, and then finished third, where he just was really good in the final round. It was a backdoor, both of them, really, like those two events, which, but I kind of like that he's found that in his game, but like, he can kind of just shoot himself back into it and do what you want him to do. I mean, you know, nearly 100 points in DraftKings scoring in Japan, where he really wasn't that good until the final day, is pretty encouraging.
How did he do with the President's Cup? He didn't get to play much, did he? Maybe one or two.
I don't remember that very well.
Yeah. But I think course fit wise, yeah, he does seem good. I was also looking at Lowry. I mean, I know all the love has faded down on him, and I know he hasn't been good in his last few starts, but this is a course where he should be pretty good. He's cheap. I don't think he can win, but can he play well here?
Yeah, I think, like, I'm in that, like, I've been burnt by Lowry phase at the moment, which maybe has a blind spot for him. But, like, even, like, so he's 48th at the PGA, 34th and 65th in this event. It's two made cuts. Like, there's nothing immediately wants me to go with Lowry. He's pretty, like, pretty repeatable in his form. Apparently, like, Rory kind of carried him in that final stretch at Zurich as well. So I don't know if he's just lost it a bit after a good run.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I probably should be off him too.
What about Jaeger again?
Yeah, I mean,
like, he fits, but like, is it just going to come to an end or something?
Yes, I think so. I mean, he does fit. He's not for me, but it's difficult to make a case as a reason why.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? It's like, it's almost like, oh yeah, he's fine. Like, I feel like the best value to offer people, like, because people are going to play Jaeger regardless, right? If they like him, they're going to play him. They don't. They're like, quite clear cut on a player like that. But probably better to make cases for people that are a little bit more difficult to decide on. So what about Straka 73? I think he's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I haven't thought about him, but he's a good long iron player. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, and like, he's got two missed cuts here and a 54th, so his course form is going to put a lot of people off. But again, I think this is definitely a course where you can just come good at any point. Like, as long as you've had some experience, I wouldn't want someone that's, you know, played it once and missed a cut, but someone that's made, you know, is played in a few rounds here in time. Like, his iron's been great at the Masters and the Heritage, so, and off the tee as well. His ball striking really is back. Even the players, he was good. So it's only really last part he's been disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, 16th at the Masters, 5th at the Heritage, really, really good. It seems like he is figuring something out. Would not shock me at all to see him play really well this week. Yeah, I like it.
But he's that type that you go, oh, like, didn't really like, almost like a Pendrith. Like, like, I didn't really think about him, but actually you could make a really good case for him if you look back at it.
Yeah, I think it's a great comparison right there.
Yeah, I like him. I like Sepp Strakosz. I think that's a good play down there. I mean, he's sixth in 150 to 175 and 23rd in 200 to 225. He's a little bit iffy in between, but that's fine. Anyone else that you really like in the sevens? Harris English got good course form. Schenck's playing well.
No, I like a couple of high sixes, though.
Okay, let's move on from there. One person I would give a shout out, like Chris Kirk, just is in a lot of good places in terms of ball striking. Like, I think the bubbles burst, but I'm interested at least. Let's have the Ricky conversation before we pick out the players. Is Ricky one of your players?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't think you'd bring him up, though. I didn't know if anyone would. I haven't seen much if he's popular this week or not, but... You know, it seems like the ball striking's coming around. 30th and 18th his last two starts. He's gained strokes, pretty good strokes and approach in both those starts. So, and this is a course he absolutely loves. So if it is coming around, it's a pretty good idea to get on him.
So the only reason I didn't bet him, he's just horrific off the tee.
Yeah.
Like, and that was what he was so good at before, right? Like, that was how he used to win tournaments. That was particularly how he used to do this one. Like, that is my only concern, is that he just can't hit the ball that well off the tee. But that may come around as well. Like, but in terms of his iron play, I think it's coming back to the right point. Like, I'm pretty sure he can get hot with a putter. It's just that driver.
I thought I just ate a bug. there was a bug, a huge bug, right, all over my face. And then I went to take a sip of my drink, and it felt like there was something in it. So I think I might have just ate a huge bug.
What sort of bug were you looking at?
I don't know, like some type of fly.
I mean... So
I feel it rumbling around in my stomach now, but I don't know if it's now that it's in my head.
Is it that, or is it just the feeling of playing Ricky Fowler?
Yeah, it could be that. It could be that. I think he's a good play. I mean, is winning a huge, huge ask right now? Yeah. Would it shock you if he won?
It would shock me if he won in the respect of he hasn't shown it. Like, when he won at the Rocket Mortgage, he sort of led into that, right? Like, he'd had a good few events, like four or five really good events coming into that. He's had one really good event at the Heritage, I would say, in 18th, and he was solid at the Masters, where I think you can kind of, if you know your way around Augusta, you can kind of get into that top 30, top 40 just by being sort of more solid than everyone else. And that's not to discount, he obviously played well there, but like, I'd just be worried about the kind of long term of the driver for 4 days.
Yeah, I think
that's why he's 6,900.
Yeah. Have you seen a lot of people talking about him this week?
I think Ben Coley might have picked him.
Okay.
So that would obviously give him a little bit of a bump. Let me just check that. Like, I wanted to bet him. So that's where I was on him. And so I just looked at the driver and just thought, look, this is the most important facet of the game. And he's struggling with it. Yeah, so Ben put him up. So Ben put up Patrick Cantlay, Cam Young, Will Zalatoris, Brief, and Akeem Bradley. And Keegan's the other guy there at 6,900 again.
So, yeah, I was just going to mention him. I think he seems pretty good, cheap.
Perfect golf course for him as well. But again, like a little bit like Henley, just never really shown it. He was 18th here a couple of years ago, where he was second after round one. Just never been that great. Like, he was 33rd in the PGA, 35th here last year, and then Formula Cup otherwise. Like, something like Fowler, where he's been incredible. Like, he's got a win and four more top six finishes, and a 14th last year as well. Like, he probably is, the second or third best player in terms of course form.
Like,
behind Rory and maybe one other. Like, I don't know. I would separate Fowler just from course form, I guess.
I like him much better than Keegan. Yeah, I'm a little iffy on Keegan. I think...
I want him to be good this week, is one thing I would say. Like, I want him to come back, and it's great for the PGA Tour if Ricky Fowler's playing well. It's a good golf course for him to play well at, and... If he can find a driver, then great. I think it's good. Lucas Glover. I like Glover. I think he's coming back a bit. And I've bet him at 100-1. I think you bet him, was it last week or the week before?
One of the Texas events, 90-1.
Like, he's been 6th, 18th, and 19th his last three starts and approach. He's 20th in 150 to 175 and 38th in 175 to 200. Bearing in mind, he'd been terrible for a large part of the season. He's gained in 10 of his 11 starts this season on approach. Three of his last four starts been top 25 finishes. 20th at Augusta is his tied best finish there. Just feels like he's coming into that kind of form where he's going to compete again. And what better course to do out than where he's finished first, second, eighth?
27th. Yeah, I agree with that. I think you know, almost like what we said earlier with Benny, where you want to play him at a course where his best skill set actually makes a difference. And I think this is a course that has difficult second shots, whereas these easy events really don't. And that's why he played well at Augusta, right? Difficult second shots. So I think longer iron, difficult second shots, he can separate himself because fairway green is a good result here. And I think that's what he does.
I could easily see him sleepwalking to like a 12.
Yeah, me too.
And just being like that guy that just goes, like never really like he was going to win. A little bit like a Noren who obviously finished fourth or whatever he did, but was never looking like he was going to win. Like just plays subtly enough where everyone else is kind of ejecting themselves. He's just going to be there. So
yeah,
I think he's the perfect type for this. Like going to play boring golf, but that's what you need at some point. The other one I like from just purely from that kind of 175 to 200 is going to be really popular this week. Most popular iron range. Austin Eckroat's 10th in that this season. And when I think about Snake, I think kind of long iron, getting streaky with the putter. Like it's hard to necessarily rely on. I think that, but like another one I've been pretty impressed with after winning, like 36th at Bay Hill, 45th at the Players, 33rd at Texas, all pretty solid. Didn't make the cut at the Masters like I thought it would, but then come straight back, finishes 17th at the Heritage, 3 out of 4 good rounds there. I think Eckroat can. I mean, he definitely can't win, but like. I think he can hang around.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be pretty popular because of all those reasons. He's just playing really good. I would almost want to take a little bit of an upside chance on two guys here. Rogers, who was 5th at the Heritage, and he's a long off the tee. Again, definitely a loser, but can he play pretty well? I think he can. And then Emiliano Grillo, who has not been playing well that much lately, but I like him at this course, and he was 8th at the API just a month and a half ago. So elevated event, long iron player.
Another guy that I think you look at it and you think he's been begging for this type of event. Like,
yeah,
doesn't want. I know he obviously can play well in Birdie Fest, but again, when you think about him, whenever you think about this kind of towering long iron player, right, that can really come to the fore at that point. I think he's kind of petered out a bit in terms of what we saw sort of end of last year, start of this, where we thought he was kind of maybe back, but like. He's inside that top 10. He's 9th. He's directly ahead of Eckroat, 9th in that 150 to 175. So that's always good. I think if you can hang your hat on one sort of statistic like that down this range, I think you're in good shape.
Yep.
Brendan Todd's been good at this golf course. And it makes no sense that he's been good at this golf course. But he's got 18th and 8th in his last two starts here. The 8th coming last year when it was a elevated event, third round 65. And actually, when you look at Todd's kind of form this season, it's been, you know, 22nd at the Phoenix is fine, 31st at Riviera, where he's inside the top 20 for the first three rounds. He was 6th at Bay Hill. He was 33rd, where was that, at the Valspar, where he was the 36th hole leader. He was 5th in Texas, where he was 2nd going into the weekend. Like, he's been solid, like really solid for a long period of time in 2024, and he's 6500 at a course he's got 8th and 18th place finishes at. It's just going completely against the grain of what you should be picking here. He's like the cheap Sung Jae-in, I guess.
Right, and I think that's almost a good way to go because everyone's going to be looking at the same thing, right? Everyone's looking at those long iron plays. And Taz Vitaud has been good this year, and you always get those guys in the top 10 who just putt really well in Bermuda, and it's fine. So I think...
Who are going to be plays like Knapp, Rogers, Cam Davis down here?
I don't think anyone's going to play Rogers. Meh. Knapp. Are people going to go back to Knapp, you think?
I think just because people are just going to look at a guy that, you know, had a chance to win. He's 6,500 and he's won already this season. Like,
yeah.
He's been a lit down when that's felt like the thing to do, but he was, you know, 4th a week after winning and, you know, he potentially could have won yesterday. So. I think people might go back to him. I wouldn't, but
yeah, I agree. I think they probably will. You're right. What about? Yeah, I don't know.
Is Kevin Tway actually good enough to play consistently on the PGA Tour again, or is this just a very small window of a good form?
Interesting. Yeah, 3rd and 9th his last two starts. Obviously not great fields, but I mean, we at one point we thought he probably could be a pretty good player, and it seems like he's.
I don't think he was ever meant to be great, right? But like he was
good, yeah.
He was good. I mean, wasn't he in that kind of same team? I think with Uline and Fowler at Oklahoma, right? Like that was his kind of era, and he won in 2018. He beat Ryan Moore and Brant Snedeker. The Safeway, he'd already won on the web before then. Like, I think he's a, I think he was a, you know, a player for a good period of time. And to be fair, he only ever got as high as 81 in the world, so maybe he wasn't as good as I kind of remember at the time. But I seem to remember his skill set kind of suiting this back in the day. I don't know if it's still the same. There's no stats in him because he's not played enough events this season.
Yeah, I mean, if people aren't playing him, I think it's worth looking at to see if that third and ninth, his last two starts, are going to stick. Would I feel completely comfortable with it? No, but yeah, I think it has merit.
I guess the way we're building, we don't need to do that. So if we look at it, so we've gone with Fleetwood, JT, Cam Young, Benny Ann, and we left ourselves 7,500 for the last two. Like, how do we want to do that? Take one? Do we take Akshay in there at 75?
I think you could, yeah, definitely.
So then you can either have a 76 guy, and or you can go down Strackers 73, Schenk 71, Fowler 69, leave plenty of money on the table, Glover 67, even more on the table. Like, I don't think we need to go down as far as these guys. I know.
I like your Strack call for the last guy.
Yeah, that's a pretty good lineup, I think. Like, that feels like I don't want to say six guys that can win. I think that's always a stretch, but like, there's four guys that can win and two guys that can threaten the top 10.
Right, you only need one of them to win.
Yeah. So that gives you $300 left on the table, that lineup.
Yeah, I like it.
The two top, like, you're taking out Scheffler and Aubert, where you can go, okay, you definitely want these two in your team. Like, they're gone. They're not playing. Rory, do you want that? If you absolutely believe that you've got to play Rory, then you've got to go to some of those guys like the Tways and people like that we've just spoken about. But otherwise, you don't need to do that.
Yes, that's how I feel too. I mean, and you could probably get away with playing Rory, and you just have to skip down. We have three or four guys in that high eight, mid nine range. Like, you don't have to do that. You can just play one of them, and you can still get the same range of guys in the mid sevens to low sevens instead of dipping that low.
Yeah, I mean, that's just for devil's advocate. Let's just put a Rory lineup together that we feel comfortable with. So we went, what would you do, guy? Like, Rory and JT, and just take like what feels like the two biggest wing ups I got.
What if you went Rory, JT, Benny?
Rory, JT, Benny leaves you 72 on average. You could have Strucker in there again at 73.
Yeah, and Ricky.
Ricky in there again. And that would leave you 74. So you could go Harris English.
If you really, or Glover.
Or you can go down to Glover and leave plenty of money on the table.
Yeah, you don't have to get crazy.
Like that, I guess that's how you get different if you have Rory in, is that you leave yourself money on the table.
Yeah, but, I think so.
Like, it's an interesting one. I mean, you can actually, you could have Cam Young instead of Benny if you want to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about Cam Young.
So,
yeah.
So you could go Rory, JT, Cam Young, Strucker, Glover, Fowler.
I love it. The only thing is, you're opening up to some popularity with Rory Young. I think a lot of people are going to go Rory Young.
Yeah. But then, I guess if JT's going to be popular, then just go down to Benny maybe and leave yourself money on the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of ways to do it. If you want
is
to
Benny going to be popular, though?
Who?
Benny going to be popular, you think?
I think he'll potentially. I'm hoping the course form will put people off. But, like, I do think he's just playing so well that people are going to ignore that. That seems to be the trend at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all those are viable options.
Any players that we've not spoken about?
No, small field. We got it covered.
No Grayson Murray minimum value? 6K.
No.
Finished 22nd here at the PGA Championship, 6th after 54 holes, by the way.
No, and he took my Benny on victory away.
He's a local guy as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I mean, I don't think Grayson Murray's going to win the Wells Fargo, but it's a funny world. There we go. I'd probably, if I was in desperate need, I'd go down to Kevin Tway at 6,200. Just hope he can kind of keep up a good run of form. You like Patrick Rogers 6,400. I like Brendan Todd at 6,500. I think there's three viable options there in the mid to low sixes that you
can. I like Grillo down there too.
Grillo you said as well. Yeah, exactly. So we've got four at 63. So, Seamus Power keeps playing well enough. We were disappointed him last week. Matt, I think that's it. I think that's the last one now before the PGA Championship. Are you doing anything for Myrtle Beach? Have you looked at that yet?
No, two names that jumped out. I think Smalley, I'm not alone on that. 55-1, I thought was a pretty good price considering the way he's playing and the fact that he's a Carolina guy. And then the other one I looked at, which I don't think the number was that fair, but I kind of like, is Chesson Hadley, 55-60 to 1. He was second at the Palmetto in the similar area. He was almost the first round leader at last week, and then he, I don't know what happened, he ejected in round two, but I think his stats were really, really good in round one. I don't know, maybe just messed up on the greens in round two, so I wouldn't be shocked to see him in contention either.
Yeah, I've not looked too far into this yet. I mean, I just think purely on ability and the fact that he's actually come to life a little bit, you'd probably go to Daniel Berger at like 33 to 1. Just because he's not the favorite. I'm surprised he's not the favorite, like behind Ben Griffin, which I thought was a bit odd.
I prefer Ben Griffin in that. I think Ben Griffin has a good chance.
You do?
Yeah, I like Ben Griffin this week. I think this is just the course that's right up his alley, and he's starting to play pretty well again.
Actually, because I'm 14th at the Corrales, 13th at the CJ Cup, 17th at the Valspar. But that's not better than how Berger's playing, right?
I don't know. I haven't been following Berger too closely. I don't think he was playing that great.
Finished 13th last week. The only thing that kind of brought my attention to it. I mean, he's
short coastal Bermuda. That's Ben Griffin.
That's true. Makes sense. That shows you kind of how much I haven't looked into it. Smalley's obviously there. Tiger Semakau is playing well. Schmid likes coastal golf courses. He's 50 to 1. So that's a name. Pat Kazire. What did he do last week? So I feel like his name was there and I was kind of.
I did see him up there. Yeah.
Stressed that I wasn't on him because I kind of looked at him early. He finished 24th, but he's at his irons well again now. So he's finished 23rd at the Corrales, 24th at the Byron Nelson. This feels like a tall tournament he can kind of take down. There we go. Probably goes back down to your Kelly Craft call from last week and David Skins for me. They're all kind of 80-100 to 1 as well. So.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have really good fun betting on that tournament. It'll be fun to put together a card that's kind of 33 up to 150 and just enjoy it. But not in a serious look just yet.
Yeah, I think it would probably be foolish to put too much money into it.
Yeah, true. Matt, any early thoughts that we need to think about for the PGA before we obviously cover it next week?
No, but I mean, I think pricing's already out if we want. Is it out? I saw it on a list of events that you can look into, but I'm sure it will be by then, but I mean, I don't know if we want to go Sunday again. We'll see how the schedules line up.
You can go Sunday. I think it's just ready to reserve a seat at the moment. I don't think you can actually get the prices, but I imagine they'll come sort of, they normally drop out Thursday, Friday, right?
Yeah, I
would say, like, there's gonna be a lot of noise about Koepka after winning LIV, right?
Oh yeah,
and I'm really high on Bryson, so
yeah.
And selfishly, like, if I either want Cam Young to win this week or not play that well at all. Like,
so you can get a better number on him, yeah.
Like, I don't want him to finish fourth and everyone just rushes to the window to bet him again next week.
Yeah, I'm happy about Brooks winning because I'm not necessarily interested, and I think I want a little bit of a distraction from Bryson after the Masters when I've been saying Bryson's going to win this PGA forever. And now, if it was the day after the Masters, people would probably all feel that way. But now that Brooks won, some of the attention goes to him.
Yeah, Bryson 33, Cam Young 40 basically feels like my obvious starting point.
I love it. I love it.
JT as well, potentially. He's kind of 40-50 to 1.
Yeah, we'll see what he does this week.
He's going to be the guy that I think can move the most. Like, if he finishes inside the top five this week, he could immediately halve based on his PGA record.
Oh, and the fact that it's his hometown event.
Taylor Gooch is...
Oh, I couldn't believe that one.
Well, I don't actually get it. I understand that he had a good season, but why has he been specially invited to this event? Is it just based on last season? Do you just want to shut up about it?
It's kind of a pretty huge development because what they're saying now is they're paying attention to LIV results because he's done nothing else.
Exactly. Like, he flatly refuses to go to the International Series events. He doesn't try and qualify for anything. He doesn't play DP World Tour events. He literally has no interest in playing ball at all. He's not doing what Neiman's done, and that's why he's got special events. But they're either saying, yep, you're playing that well over there that we do want to invite you. Or I don't know what it is. Like, is it just let's just get this guy in and shut him up? I don't know what it is. Like,
no, I think it's a sign that I think it opens the door for a lot of things. I think it's a good thing.
Why is Vermeer playing? Because Vermeer's playing great.
Or why isn't Louis?
Yeah.
They both won twice in events outside of LIV. Isn't that what you're trying to reward? It's very, very strange. I know.
Louis is playing, I think.
Louis's not playing.
There's odds for him here.
He's not in.
No?
Nope.
Interesting.
There's like there are odds on some other guys not in, too. Like, I think there's odds for Answer who's not in.
Like, would you bet Louis if he was in?
No, but I did bet him at the Open 130 to 1.
Nice. Did you look at what he'd done in Troon in the past? Like, you just didn't care?
Well, he played here in 2015. I want to say what he was in the 30th or something range, but he's playing great. I mean, he's been really, really consistent. It feels like a good fit for him. You had, I wanted to say there was some South Africans in the mix, but maybe there wasn't because it was really just a two-man show. But I don't know. I think it's just over 100 with him playing great at a British Open that he's won a British Open before, and he has runner-up. I mean, worth a shot.
Yeah, nice. We'll save that for, we'll put a pin in that and save that for the weekend, Sunday, probably. Matt, thank you as ever. Elevated event. Enjoyed having you on here again. And let's get the winner.
Let's get one of these losers. And let's change the narrative. Change the narrative.
Is it Betty Ann would be the one for you? Like, you just want it to win.
That I would. I mean, him, Tommy, in terms of what I would want. Benny won, yeah, Tommy too.
What means the most to you winning?
Benny won.
Luca wants Benny to win, right?
Luca wants Benny. I want Benny. I'm actually interviewing Benny in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
So if he wins, it'd be even better. So I want Benny won, Tommy too. I don't really like Cam Young. But
it's weird. I don't like Cam Young, but all of a sudden I want to bet him every week.
Yeah, but that's why, because that's why we're professionals here. We can put our personal feelings aside in terms of trying.
I also don't know why I don't like him. Like, he just looks a bit. He just looks a bit entitled. Like,
it's his face. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the face. It's like, I've always
he doesn't look like Adam Scott, so you don't like him. Like, I don't
know. No, it's nothing to do with like being handsome or anything. For me, it's like he looks like a guy at, you know, like one of those guys in the corner of a bar drinking like those like really hoppy IPAs and doesn't want you to come and say hi to him, has a mean mug on his face that just seems like just a little douchey.
I always wonder, like, because I've spoken to Paul Tesori before, and he's a really nice person, Paul Tesori. Like, top, like, in terms of strangers, like, just top five people I've ever spoken to, right? Stayed in contact forever, and I just wonder, like, how does that guy give up on someone? Because that's essentially what happened, I think.
Yeah, I could be completely wrong, but he just strikes me as a douche.
Yeah.
Never smiles or anything.
I don't know if that's just the face again. Like, I don't know if it's just stuck. Like, he's got a big old beard there. Like, he just can't see.
No, he has a very unwelcoming face.
And by the way, you know, you talk about the fact that you go to bed, wake up, like, thinking about Adam Scott every now and then.
Yeah.
I went to see, what was the film? Fall Guy last night.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a more handsome man on the planet than Ryan Gosling.
Gosling?
Yeah.
I like Gosling. I like I saw like in a debate who's more handsome, Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And I think it's not close. You know what? Again, I'm very comfortable with my sexuality, so I like talking about how handsome men are. But I think you're crazy if you think Reynolds is better looking than Reynolds.
Reynolds is attractive to people because he's one of the funniest people on earth.
Yeah, that's what I think it is too. But in terms of pure looks, Gosling is more handsome.
In terms of you just have to stare at someone. Like, I generally sat there and, like, who's the girl, isn't it? Emily Blunt? Like, I was watching the film and I should be completely interested in it. It's Emily Blunt, right? Like, and I just found myself staring at Ryan Gosling. And I just came out.
Yeah.
And I just said to Shannon at the end of it, I was like, he's the most handsome. Like, I almost just gave her, like, you know, do what you want. Like, I don't
care. Yeah. You know, it'd be tough to say no to that. I completely agree. And you get The Notebook. You ever watch The Notebook?
I haven't, but like that makes.
Oh, you're gonna fall even more in love with him. You're gonna fall even more in love with him after you watch The Notebook. You gotta watch it. It's a good movie to watch with your significant other, and it's also a more way to fall in love with Ryan Gosling.
But also, like, I like all the kind of the sort of grittier films that he's been in, because he's going down this kind of. How much do you love films, Matt?
Well, I haven't watched a movie in 11 years, so not much.
Okay, so if I went down the kind of like Place Beyond the Pines and stuff, you don't know what that is.
I do know what it is, but I have not seen it.
Watch it. Like,
yeah.
Because like it's those and Drive and things like that where he's just like this really quiet, like dark character where I'm like.
Mysterious. There's another factor.
He's mysterious and now he's funny. Like, I think that just adds another layer to it. But like. Yeah, I mean, what a handsome person. The first thing when I thought about how handsome he was like, I need to bring that up on the show tomorrow because Matt always talks about handsomeness in and I just felt like I just had to get it off my chest in a public forum that he is. Yeah,
I could talk about handsome men all day long. So I'm the guy you want to bring it up to if you think of someone else.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper's in that place Beyond the Pines as well.
I like him too. Yeah, I like Bradley Cooper too. Gosling a little better.
Because like I don't know if you can get more handsome than Ryan Gosling.
You think he number one on your man crush list?
Yeah, I just can't. I don't like physically know if the human body can get more. But who else is I talk about? I guess people talk about like Henry Cavill, but I always think he looks a bit weird.
Yeah, they used to be like Brad Pitt in that conversation.
Yeah.
But he's kind of little and. I think
he just adds too much Brad Pitt. Like it's just too much.
I like the Thor. I think Thor, whatever his name is, he's pretty good. Who else do I like? I'll think about. I'll have a list next week.
Just gonna type in most handsome men and just see what comes up. Imagine like David Beckham comes up with all these lists.
I like Beckham, but you know, I think sometimes public consensus on these guys are wrong.
There's a South Korean man is number one right now. Apparently, I've never heard of him. Kim Tae Young, the South Korean singer, best known by stage name B, has been voted the most handsome man in the world. What about? I don't really know Reggie Jean Page that well. Bridgerton.
I don't know. Don't know who that is.
I think he's pretty much an English person. This might be a bit of an English list. It's got to be Gosling.
Gosling is definitely up there.
Tom Cruise is number two in this list.
That's the ones I thought was going to come up that I really just don't get or don't agree with. Well, I think what's the British guy? Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I think he's a pretty handsome man.
Yeah, he would get a lot of shouts over here.
He's a little older, but if you're looking for an older man, you know.
This is weird. Like, there's no definitive list because this list has got Timothy Chalamet as number one, which I think is an odd shout.
Who's that? The guy, little.
The Dune guy.
Oh God, he's a little. He's a twink.
I don't think anyone that's in Wonka is gonna make the list of most handsome men.
Well, Johnny Depp. I mean, for a lot of people, he would have been up there for a while.
Yeah, but like not. That's a mysterious thing, isn't it?
Yeah, like attractive. Yeah, I guess the difference between just handsome, classically handsome versus.
I think that's why we've got to split it off. We'll probably have to do a whole podcast on that. But it's like classically good-looking human being.
Yeah.
And I'm attracted to him because he looks a bit strange. And I think that's where Johnny Depp feels in. Pedro Pascal, people like that fit into those kind of things.
Yeah, and then even Reynolds like attractive because he's funny. And so I never really got the huge appeal with him. Like George Clooney, I think is pretty classically handsome. My mom loved George Clooney my whole life.
Yeah. And then
Clooney?
Got the out there people like Harry Styles and that will just get by because they wear something really outrageous and people call it stylish.
Yeah, I'm looking at some other lists. Zac Efron, I never really got the hype on him.
He makes sense, I think.
I like John Mayer a lot. That could be mysterious too.
He's a singer.
Yeah. I mean, old Brad Pitt.
I always thought John Mayer was in a band, but he wasn't, right? Was he just a solo guy?
He's a solo guy, but he was playing for a famous band that he's been filling in the guitar for because he's a really good guitar player. Nirvana or something.
Joined three members of the Grateful Dead to make Dead and Company.
It's funny because Grateful Dead, yeah. It's funny because we probably would get some good feedback from women, but I really doubt many women listen to the show.
No. Shannon's probably sitting downstairs like, how the fuck has this turned into what this has turned into? I think she just, I didn't want to bore her too much with how handsome, you know, she obviously just agrees. The right things. I just had to get up on check. Like, I don't think you can actually get, like, Adam Scott is, we'll bring it back to golf quickly, like, an extremely handsome man, but I don't think he's as handsome as Ryan Gosling.
No, you can't reach professional golfer. He is a lower tier than just best in the entire world. So I think
Adam Scott the most handsome sportsman?
Tom Brady, I think, is up there.
He looks a little bit like he's had a lot of work done.
Plasticky?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think that's.
Did you watch that roast thing yet?
No, I saw some clips of it. It seemed all right. I'm not a big roast fan.
I do like those roasts, but I haven't looked. I didn't look at who. I guess it's just a lot of NFL guys are on the.
Yeah, it seemed pretty ruthless from what I saw.
I saw one where it was like Drew Breslow said that he didn't make it to his 28th marriage.
Yeah. Like, that was quite funny. Well, sportsman, I think David Beckham's probably more handsome than Adam Scott, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
He has like a sex appeal. I don't know if Scott is just handsome. I don't know if he has the sex appeal, but again, a different conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to go and ask Shannon what she thinks about Adam Scott and David Beckham. She's going to be David Beckham. I mean,
well, it's funny. I talked to someone before, like a friend, a female friend, who I used to always say how handsome Adam Scott was, and she's like, I don't see it. I think Brooks is like the sexiest.
Brooks is one of those, like, I think it's just like because he's a party guy. I feel like he's the
and the mystique, and he's like, yeah, yeah, going on bar stool and.
Yeah. Like I don't think he's quote unquote handsome.
But I told her I lost all respect for her, so.
Based on the fact, I just didn't think Adam Scott's handsome at all.
Well, Scott's more, that and Scott's definitely more handsome than Brooks. I don't know how you could say otherwise.
Well, there we go. I mean, if anyone's made it to, what are we, like, hour and 10 minutes into this conversation, and we've got to the last 10 minutes of being how handsome Ryan Gosling is, and maybe not how handsome Ryan Reynolds is.
Yeah, I'm glad you sparked me to get some of that stuff off my chest.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a longer podcast, man. I mean, maybe, you know, we talked about we're going to go into more general golf. Maybe we just need to go into more general chat. Like, maybe it's just like it's just a bro down of like, look, we're fine talking about this stuff.
Top 100 hot guys list. How many views would that get?
Who is it? Like, is it FHM to do like top 100 or whatever? Like, we'll GQ.
Yeah, we're going
to
do our own.
We'll do our own.
Just two random golf podcasters. We'll do that and see what people think.
Sneak James Harn into like 87th or something, just say like assassin qualities.
Yeah.
There we go. Matt, it's midnight here, so I'm gonna stop talking about Ryan Gosling.
All right, get some sleep. Hopefully you don't have any weird dreams tonight, but you probably will.
There's a good chance after all that. So thanks as ever, bud, and I'll catch you again next week.